gentlemen, sit right up. Let's go see the elephant. Without a road.
To the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It is time for the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we come to you once again live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. By live, I mean me. I'm here right now. That means you can give us a call. 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll put you right on the air and talk things out with you. I am Christopher Hart. On the bridge tonight is Nick LoCicero. He's got Captain Morgan in there with him. That's right, Captain Brian Morgan. By the way, folks, he's on our sister station every afternoon, 3 to 5, 1520 WBZW, doing a bang-up job. I love listening to him. At any rate, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got Abe Katzman, who's going to be joining us momentarily live. He's back at home in Jerusalem. And we've got some ransom to talk about. We've got some executions to talk about. We've got some deal violations to talk about. We got a lot to talk about with Abe Katzman. John Barros is also going to be with us this afternoon. He'll be sitting in the second hour of the show. Of course, John is, he is whowillstand.net. He'll be sitting in with us for a little bit today. All right. Well, as I said, we got a lot to talk about. In the meantime, Donald Trump gave his much-awaited-for economic speech today, the speech that Steve Moore revealed he would be giving on the show when he was with us last week, last Wednesday. And Steve Moore actually helped author the speech and come up, well, I should say author the plan, which is really what authored the speech. And it has come off so far. It's getting good reviews. He walked into the Detroit Economic Commission review, whatever it was, whatever the organization was, he walked into a standing ovation. The protesters were there, though, sprinkled throughout the crowd, and almost like clockwork, about every 3 or 4 minutes, one of them would stand up and start shouting something and be escorted out. He was very patient and gave an excellent speech, and by the way, he is getting better. He's not obviously yet near Obama's abilities with the teleprompter, but you can tell that Donald Trump is getting much more comfortable with the teleprompter, and it shows. And but I just want to go over the highlights of his economic plan. I'm sure that it's going to come under a great deal of scrutiny. It was already coming under a great deal of scrutiny even before he revealed it. And so I'm sure there'll be the naysayers out there. But what you have to remember, the underlying, shall we say, economic principle of this plan is pro-growth. To get the economy growing at a healthy clip. The economy right now is not growing at a healthy clip. As a matter of fact, it's basically growing at a rate that simply more or less maintains. It's like treading water. We're not really making any progress. We're just kind of staying where we're at, stagnating. Stagnating economy, which has led to falling wages for most of the people who earn wages. Now, obviously, it's been real good to the rich because they've been printing money and putting it in their pockets. But for the rest of us who actually have to actually go out and earn a living, it has not been a recovery that anyone wants to write home about. As a matter of fact, it's more akin to a prolonged sort of recession than it is to a recovery. To cure that situation, Donald Trump has come up with a multifaceted plan. It would include eliminating all illegal and overreaching executive orders issued by Barack Obama. It would temporarily put a moratorium on any new regulations and ask each agency head for a review of all present regulations as to effectiveness and redundancy. It would end the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and he would renegotiate NAFTA. And this is the part that I really love. He would end the Paris Climate Agreement. We would pull out of that agreement. He would enforce trade agreements, and he called it trade enforcement, especially with China. And everyone knows that, China is a very nefarious business partner. Is that the right word? Unreliable business partner, because they will take advantage of you and steal from you. And it would also include, and I love this too, a 15% corporate tax rate. It would lower taxes for individuals as well. And he also is offering a deduction for child care expenses. Now, there's already a child tax credit for such expenses, so I presume that this would be in addition to or in place of for people who may not be able to take that tax credit. Nonetheless, it is definitely a pro-growth plan. There are two things in this that are actually three that are extremely pro-growth. I mean, the whole thing is pro-growth. Eliminating these illegal and overreaching executive orders, that's pro-growth. Lowering individual taxes, pro-growth. This especially, a temporary moratorium on new regulations. In other words, they stop new regulations, period, and then have them review existing regulations. That is long overdue, and that would go a long way to bolstering this economy in that stupid climate deal. And then, of course, the 15% corporate tax rate, which would entice all kinds of investment back into this country. Now, the naysayers are going to be out there going, oh, it doesn't add up, it doesn't add up, it doesn't add up. Well, it doesn't add up if you don't consider the fact that it is pro-growth, that this will juice the economy, goose the economy, however you want to say it. Let's try to put a silver lining to the Obama economy, Obamanomics. It has stifled what the economy naturally wants to do. The economy naturally wants to be creative and grow and thrive. And yet, because of overregulation and overtaxation and these executive orders, this economy has been stifled. It has been reined in. It has been held back. It is like, they're doing a remake of Ben-Hur is coming out, and I'm not going to see it. No, I'm not going to see it, because in my mind, they just can't outdo Charlton Heston. But anyway, that's me. But one of the famous parts of that movie, of course, is the chariot race. And each chariot has these four, stampeding horses, with just breathing fire and running like the wind. And that's what our economy wants to do. But we have hooked them to a huge brick and stone, and it has just put a huge damper on the economy. So that's the bad news. The good news is that if Donald Trump were to get elected, or someone were to get elected and implement this plan, and he's the only one that has come up with this plan, then this would turn those horses loose, and we'd be in for the chariot ride of our lives. I mean, it would be something to behold and something to experience, because I'm here to tell you, this economy wants to cut loose. This economy wants to boom, but we got a bunch of buffoons holding it back. And this is the kind of plan that will turn it loose. By eliminating these overreaching executive orders and moratorium on regulations, that allows corporations to breathe a little bit. And then by lowering the taxes, you're pumping blood into them like never before. And that blood, of course, will come in the form of a lot of cash, green money. No, not the money that we give to the Iranians. I'm talking about real investment dollars. It would come flooding back to the United States of America. There are plenty of examples of this. Other countries in the world lowering their corporate tax rate and investment, corporate investment rushing to get in there. It'd be the best deal in town. The United States has always been the best deal in town, but this would make it even better. Especially for investors and all this, these several trillions of dollars that our own corporations have sitting basically in bank accounts overseas because the tax rate here is prohibitive to bring that money back into the country. Well, you eliminate the prohibitive tax rate by implementing a 15% tax rate, and guess what? Yonder, here comes that money. I mean, get out of the way. It'll knock you over. The pallets of money will be coming back into the country instead of going out. And that's what we want. And that's why this plan, I believe, is a very pro-growth plan. And it would put the economy back on solid footing. And as far as the entitlement programs and all of those things, a growth economy that is growing healthy can handle those things. An economy that is not growing healthy, it can't handle anything. Any burden is going to eventually take it down. Any burden. I don't care. You can whittle Social Security down to 50% of what it is now, and if you still got a stagnant economy like we got right now, eventually that will not be enough. It just, the numbers aren't there. You grow the economy, you grow the opportunities, you grow the wealth, you grow the comfort, and everybody benefits. You stifle those things, and you get this nonsense that we got right now. It was an excellent plan. It was a pretty doggone good speech. And I got a notion that this is going to put even more fear into the never-Trumpers, the Democrats, and the elite who have got the fear of God in them. Because guess what? These new regulations that he's talking about a moratorium on and a review of, guess what? Those things cost money. So that means somewhere along the line, somebody's making money because of a bunch of pencil pushers, right? And it's costing us in our quality of life. And it's them pencil pushers that we need to get out of the way. But they're the ones right now who control the reins of power. Well, we have a chance right now like we haven't had in my lifetime and will never have again in my lifetime to really do something about it. Now, maybe the guy isn't the kind of guy you would like to spend the evening with. I don't care. He's the kind of guy with the right kind of plan to turn this economy around and get this nation back on a good, solid footing. And I'm all for that. Go Donald Trump. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show and Abe Katzman live from Jerusalem. And where is she tonight? Down to Kissimmee? I wonder if she's going to do some more lying down there. You're going to be lying down in Kissimmee down there? And by the way, did y'all see the picture on Drudge, how she had to be helped up the steps into her house? She is frail, folks. She ain't in good health. And that ain't a good thing for the Dems, but it is for us. I hate to say it. We'll be right back.
Let's stop the Grayson dynasty. My name is Wayne Lubnitsky, Republican candidate for U.S. House District 9. I am the veteran with a voice. Alan Grayson is trying to give his congressional seat to his new wife and create the Grayson dynasty. Help us prevent this by visiting my website to volunteer and donate. WayneForCongress.com. We need your help. Please vote for me August 30th and support me through WayneForCongress.com. My name is Wayne Lubnitsky, and I approve this message.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. And, you know, there's a brand new book out. It's called Quiet Strength, and it's a memoir, and it's by Tony Dungy. And guess what? We've got some copies to give away, so you're going to want to stick around because we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. And by the way, did you see where they couldn't play the Hall of Fame game last night, the first game of the exhibition season? Did you guys see that? Nick, did you see where they couldn't play the Hall of Fame game? Oh, he's busy in there. He's not listening to me. That's all right. Yeah, they couldn't play the Hall of Fame game because evidently when they painted the field with the logo and everything, it was the wrong kind of paint, and the players couldn't run on it. It was too hard, so they tried to add a little water to it, and that made it sticky and messy, so they had to cancel the game last night. Can't wait to rub that into McBath tomorrow night. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. And by the way, Tony Dungy was inducted into the Hall of Fame Saturday, so it was a big weekend for him. So those books will be giving those away, and we'll start doing that. We got 9 to give away, looks like. So we'll start that. We'll give one away each day for the next 9 days until they're gone. All right, so stick around for that. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show. As I said, though, earlier, it is time now for our man from Jerusalem, and that is, of course, Abe Katzman. Abe, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay, but I'm actually still in Seattle.
Oh, you're still in Seattle. Okay. All right. Well, good deal. Good deal. Enjoying your stay there?
Yeah, very nice. Although last week was perfect. Today is a little more typical Seattle weather.
Yeah, a little nasty.
Showers, sunshine, but it's very nice.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. Well, you know, I remember us talking about this way back in January when we first heard that the hostages had been released by the Iranians, minus Robert Levinson, by the way, and we talked about that too, and that there was a $1.7 billion settlement that was part of it. But now we find out that $400 million of it was given to the Iranians in cash money that they could easily transfer to terrorist groups. What are your thoughts on it, Abe?
Yeah, it's right out of the old movies. Bundles of suitcases of cash and unmarked bills, non-sequential serial numbers, the whole business. Whatever the Obama administration says, claiming that it's just the most amazing coincidence payment was made at the exact, it just happened to be at the same time that we were trying to get hostages out, and it just happened to be that they didn't release the hostages until the cash showed up.
Yeah, well, that's nitpicking there.
I know. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
What's terrible, I mean, one thing that the Obama administration is very bad with, unless they just don't care, is they don't seem to get the importance of the optics.
Right.
What's going on with this stuff. And if they are, even if their excuse is true, you know, what does this look like to everybody else? Every bad character around thinks that they now can go after Americans and that America is going to pay ransom. Even if it's not true, you're still putting a target, you're still putting a price tag on the lives of Americans.
Yep.
So you can say all you want, we don't negotiate with terrorists and we don't pay ransom. Well, that's not what other people think.
No.
This reminds me, I was just going to say something about this in turn. Yeah, with Iraq, even, you know, with the whole Iraq war and the way they pulled out, you know, there's this idea that this is really, it's about America, it's about Iraq. I mean, it's about Iraq, it's about our policy. Well, to the rest of the world, this is about America.
Right.
And the rest of the world sees how we behave and what we do to our allies and what we do to our enemies and how we cave and how we pay ransom. This is not good. So even if they're telling the truth, they're incredibly negligent in how they let this take place.
And
even in the unlikely event they're telling the truth.
Yeah, which I would not bet anything on it. I'd take the other side of that bet. But yeah, this is, as you say, it's the optics. Perception is reality. I say that here on the show all the time. A person's perception is the reality. And it doesn't matter, as you say, even if it's true or not, it's the perception that the bad guys have, that the rest of the world has about this. And when it is in unmarked bills, when it is in cash money, 500 euro denominations. It has all the look and the smell of ransom, and that's all they need to know. And by the way, the Iranians have picked up a couple of more Iranian-American businessmen since the release of those four. Over the weekend in Afghanistan, an American and Australian professor were kidnapped. I mean, you know, you can't necessarily say that it's directly related, but obviously word gets around, right? And then, of course, this cash money can easily wind up in the hands of Hamas or Hezbollah, right?
Sure. And look, it's bad news if Iran looks at Americans as being a cash crop. You know, they just harvest a few of us, they just grab a few of us, and they get money for it.
Right.
This money, who knows how much is actually going into the hands of Hezbollah and Hamas, but I'm sure it's plenty. These are organizations that are kept afloat, especially Hezbollah, completely by Iran. They say they are a wholly owned subsidiary of the Iranian government.
Right.
This is Iran. It's Iran's proxy in Lebanon, and Iran pays for it. So,
yeah.
You know, money's fungible, even if it's not going directly to Iran. So to Hezbollah, there's other money that is. It's just disastrous.
Yeah, and of course, the issue with the cash money is it can't be traced. Now that the Iranians have it, and as you said, there's no way to monitor the bills, it can go anywhere, and no one can trace it. And of course, that's the kind of money that the drug cartels and the terrorists like to deal with, cash money. So it's hard to believe that our administration is that stupid. I'd kind of like to believe that, but I have to believe that they knew that this was ransom, and they had to have known that by giving it to them in this form, that it could be easily and most likely would be used to support terrorist groups.
Yeah, if there was nothing to hide, then why did they hide it for 6 months?
Exactly.
Why did it take 6 months for this news to emerge? Why didn't they just come right out and say, in unrelated events, we coughed up $400 million in unmarked bills to Iran? But it has nothing, you know, they wouldn't say it. It took a while for them to come out.
Can you imagine the guys that got the... Talk about sexy and smart. We got the sexiest, smartest man in Seattle on the line with us right now. Of course, that'd be Abe Katzman. Abe, we were just talking about the one liar, Barack Obama, lying to us about the ransom money. We got the other liar, Hillary Clinton, who wants to take his place, of course. And it appears as though she might be right in the middle of a Iranian nuclear scientist who got executed over the weekend, a guy by the name of Amiri, Shahram Amiri, right?
That's right. Amiri is somebody who, he defected from Iran in 2009, or so it appeared. He just disappeared when he was supposedly on a religious pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia. He claimed later on that he had been kidnapped by the CIA. He showed he managed to get back to Iran, and he was treated as a hero there. But suddenly, and this is somebody who's an expert on radiation detection and knew an awful lot about the Iranian nuclear program. Suddenly, about a year later, sometime in 2010, he just disappeared. This guy who was a big Iranian hero suddenly disappeared. This may very well have coincided with the accessing of Hillary Clinton's emails of her server, because his case was actually discussed in her emails, even in emails that have now been released.
Right.
So it was pretty obvious that the U.S. had been working with him. I think they had actually offered him $5 million. There's some question whether he ever got the money. But even so, the fact that this guy who was treated as a hero suddenly disappears, is put on trial for treason, and is executed makes it really ought to focus the spotlight on Hillary Clinton. And the scandal is that so far there is no scandal. This is incredible. This is, you know, what this means in terms of compromising not just existing intelligence assets, but how are you going to get any in the future? Who is going to put their life on the line knowing that the U.S. can't keep its mouth shut, can't keep a secret? This right. is like the Pakistani doctor who helped get Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And then the White House couldn't help but boast about all the different things they did in order to get their man, and it ended up revealing the identity of this doctor, who was then
put in prison.
I think 33 years of hard labor he was sentenced to.
Right.
Thanks. That's the thanks you get. The guy should have been, we're taking in all these unvetted Syrian refugees. That's the guy we ought to be taking into America and setting him up and giving him money and thanking him and giving him medals of honor.
Yeah.
But instead, we hang him out to dry. We let him get prosecuted and convicted and sentenced to hard labor in Pakistan. What are we doing?
Well, we're not doing it right, that's for sure, whatever we are doing. Yeah, and if it wasn't damning enough that they talked about Amiri in the emails, they called him repeatedly our friend.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's, you know, the Iranians, you know, see that and go, uh-huh, okay, all right, we'll show your friend. We got something for him. Evidently,
well, that might just mean that he gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
I suppose. But it got him executed. And it all does come back to the emails to Hillary, the 30,000 emails. We don't know even yet still what was in those. We may find out, according to Assange, but we may not. But obviously, what we do know is bad enough. And you have to assume that there's going to be even more of the same or worse in the 30,000 emails that were deleted. So, you know, you're right. There are assets out there on the ground right now who are probably wondering, you know, what they've gotten themselves into when they hear things like that. And the guy was hung, and I guess they turned his body back over to his mother. And that's the end of that tune. And,
yep.
You know, so, and then Iran just goes about their merry way of taking advantage of the nuclear deal, just flaunting it. And evidently now there are signs that they're violating the deal. I mean, they got a pretty good deal. You would think that they would just be satisfied with that. But when you got Obama, why not go the extra mile? You know he's not going to do anything about it, right?
Right. In terms of the last point, I actually just wanted to say that, you know, this is really sort of backs up the, you know, the Trump's line about how maybe the Russians can help us find the rest of the emails. Well, that's probably how Iran found this out. Because the Russians got this off of the server.
And their allies.
And traded this information for whatever they got out of it from Iran. But, okay. So, anyway, but getting back to the nuclear deal, yeah, this is... even if they would follow the nuclear deal, it would be bad enough. But apparently there are all kinds of revelations that they're cheating right and left. And it's not the Americans who are saying so. The Germans have come out and said that they are, that Iran is pursuing what they called a clandestine path to
a
nuclear weapon at a... they said at a qualitatively high level. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. There's speculation about how they've been buying certain equipment that they're actually not allowed to buy without permission from the countries that signed the deal with them.
Right.
But that's, you know, if that's not bad enough, then we have that side agreement that we found out about that actually allows them to in essence, to break out 5 years earlier than the end of the deal. They're allowed five times more centrifuges than they have now under the side deal, and 5 years before we thought the agreement would expire, they're in essence allowed to do most anything they want. So, and these were, you know, there were these side deals that Congress was insisting on seeing, and the Obama administration said no. And now we're finding out what was in them.
Yeah.
I can't believe, I know politics are politics, but had those side agreements actually been revealed, I don't know if the deal would have passed the Senate. hard to say that even, you know, there were so many people who claimed at least to be wavering. If that didn't push them over, I don't know what would.
Well, I think the fact that there is a side deal indicates that the administration at least thought that they wouldn't have gotten it, or they wouldn't have done the side deal, right? That would have been the deal.
Right.
So it just goes to show that, they, once again, the so-called most transparent administration turns out to be the most secretive administration that we've known. On big things. I mean, not secretive about Watergate. We're talking about secretive about, you know, deals.
National security.
Exactly.
Sure.
Right.
That world put, security.
That put the security of nations at risk. Exactly. And they just continue to lie to us in the process. You mentioned
one of the lies. Yeah, I was just going to say is that President Obama, in defending what's been going on, said that Israeli security now the security establishment actually now supports the deal. And in Israel, this raised eyebrows. I mean, I understand why he said it, but they, in essence, said, we don't know who he's been talking to, but across the board, nobody supports this deal. We look at this as, they look at this as the Munich Agreement with Czechoslovakia, that they've been sacrificed.
Right.
They really, I give them credit for hitting back, for not taking this, so diplomatically. They, there's only so much they're going to put up with from him, and that's good to see.
Yeah, it is. Once again, though, the bad guys out there are looking at all this and taking advantage of it left and right. Donald Trump gave a speech today in Detroit. It was on economics. But if he were to put sort of the same principles, if you will, and implement them in foreign policy, I could see where he would want to do something about this deal. First of all, did you see his speech or hear it? And if you did, what did you think about it?
I heard little snippets of it. I heard him say, I heard him talking about putting the interests of America first, and that we've been putting the interests of our, putting our own interests second, if that. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is passing us up in different ways. It's true. If we put American, if you look at it in terms of foreign policy and start looking at what America ought to be doing in its own interests, things would look different, even in the issues we've been talking about now. The Iranian nuclear deal would look different. There'd probably be an Iranian nuclear scientist who'd still be alive today, an informer to America. I mean, they probably would not. I cannot imagine that they would have paid cash ransom to Iran. I think that's one that seems like the kind of thing where Trump would blow a gasket if he ever found out that such a thing was even being discussed. These events. Everybody, I'm sure, wants to talk about these events in the context of, through the prism of what this does for the election. But whether the press focuses on this kind of stuff or not, every one of these things helps Trump. Every one of these things seems like the kind of thing that he'll handle better, and that demonstrates just how bad she is and how inept, actually how dangerous. They can talk about him being dangerous. Look at her.
Well, I know. I mean, we have her judgment to judge her by. I mean, her judgments and her decision-making while she was Secretary of State to judge her by. And she fails the test every time, from the server to Benghazi and everything in between. I mean, the reset with Russia, everything. She's just an abject failure. I mean, what more proof do we need that she's not ready for the job, that she is unqualified for the job?
I don't know if you saw the report on her. I think it might have been a National Review that somebody wrote about her Senate career and what she actually accomplished.
Was there anything?
I think she, yeah, well, she got, I think, in 8 years, I think she got 12 pieces of minor legislation through the Senate. 11 of them ended up going nowhere. The 12th one, which she, her big accomplishment, is that she got a courthouse renamed for Thurgood Marshall. 8 years in the Senate, and she's got a courthouse to show for it.
Oh, wow. I tell you what, that's something else, isn't it? That's great achievement. And it's just like a Barack Obama, you know, when he was first running and people that I knew were voting for him, and I'd ask him, why are you going to vote for this guy? He's never done anything. And I'd go, they'd look at me straight in the eye and with all sincerity say, oh, but he's a community organizer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was everything I could do. After a while, I just started laughing when people would say that. And, of course, they'd get very angry at me when I did that, but that's too bad. But, you know, they're just totally unqualified for the job. And, of course, the media is going to spin it the other way, that she's the only one with qualifications for the job. But it's obvious that if you look at what she's accomplished, or not accomplished, I should say, and the results of her decisions and her judgment, you see that if she's president and commander-in-chief of our armed forces, disaster will be on the way. She'll have them changing clothes left and right while we're being invaded or something, right? I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, I look at this, you know, also from the impact of that these events are going to have on how this is perceived from Israel by Americans living in Israel. And this is the kind of thing, there's not a great deal of love for Donald Trump there. I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
Yeah,
there are people maybe who kind of like him, but I think overall people are thinking, like, really? Donald Trump? Really? But
yeah.
I think this is the kind of thing that makes it, these events with in terms of Hillary Clinton, make it not a close call. I don't think there's going to be that much debate for an awful lot of the voters there. As much as they might not love Trump, they're going to realize just how dangerous she is for America and for Americans all over the world, including Israel.
You know, one thing I like about Donald Trump, especially over Hillary and Barack, is that he will listen to the Prime Minister of Israel. He will give Benjamin Netanyahu the time of day. He won't treat him like he's been treated by Obama and like Hillary Clinton would treat him. And I'm greatly comforted by that.
Yeah, they won't. I don't think Donald Trump will be, shoving him out the back door of the White House without so much as giving him dinner like Obama did one time.
Right.
Or that he won't have his Secretary of State scream at Prime Minister Netanyahu for 45 minutes over nothing, over an announcement of some housing in Jerusalem. You know, this is not the kind of behavior that's really the behavior that is marked, that really symbolizes the Obama administration's attitude toward Israel. I understand there's been good cooperation in terms of things like weapons development and a good relationship with the Pentagon, but politically, this has been ugly.
Yeah, indeed it has been. Have you seen, just as one last side note about Hillary Clinton, have you seen some of the photographs and the videos that are showing up that show her in, shall we say, a frail state of health? There was a picture on Drudge where they were trying to help her up the stairs.
I saw that last night, up the stairs. Yeah,
yeah, and evidently Hannity's going to play a video that's been making its way around YouTube of her doing like a meet and greet where she's shaking hands, and all of a sudden her head just starts like twitching around and all kinds of weird gyrations. Any talk in the Israeli press about she may not be physically able to do the job?
And that is not something that anybody's been looking at yet. But I'm sure that if this kind of this video goes viral, that's really going to be one of the topics. It's the kind of thing also that will bring in into play Tim Kaine's record. And Tim Kaine's record on Israel is less than exceptional. He's no Mike Pence, I'll say that.
Yeah, no, he isn't. And, of course, as we reported on the show, he's got, you know, his own sympathies to the Palestinian causes, if you will. Real quick, have you been able to, I know you're still in the United States, but have you been able to find out any more about what's going on in Turkey over there? Is the station, is it still emergency rule over there and people still locked up and that sort of thing?
I'm not sure to what degree there's that kind of, you know, if there are curfews or lockdowns or things like
right.
that. But what I do know is apparently the, you know, there's been a serious purge of you know, in all sectors of society, and particularly in the military. And this has, where this is really, where you're really starting to see this have an effect is in Syria, because the Turks were actually the, they were the backers of most of the anti-Assad Syrian rebels. And without Turkey backing them, or with everything in disarray, and the military, the liaisons sitting in jail, suddenly the rebels, a lot of the rebel groups are you're going to see them retreating. They're going to be into their I think there already are some offensives against them. And I think you're going to see what's likely to be a bad period for them, and you'll see the pro-Assad forces doing well in the coming weeks, so I gather.
All right. So what's happening in Turkey is spilling over, in a way, having an effect in a negative sense in Syria.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Abe, once again, it's always enlightening to speak with you and enjoy talking with you. And our listeners, once again, I get compliment after compliment. People just love to hear you on the show. So we thank you so much and enjoy your stay in Seattle.
Thank you. Always happy to be with you.
All right. We'll be praying for you and Israel. That's Abe Katzman. Excellent. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for being with us. I so enjoy talking with Abe Katzman. I wish he could be with us every night. All right. Just have a few minutes left in this hour of the show. Don't forget John Barros. He's going to be with us in the next hour of the show, so I want you to stick around for that. And we got some events coming up, but don't forget, you know, school's getting ready to start. Let me go here first. School's getting ready to start here real soon. I think some counties actually start this week. But it's never too late to think about putting your child in a great Christian school, and there's no better way than to do that with half-price tuition. And AmazingRadioDeals.com is where you can find half-price tuition deals at great Christian schools all over Central Florida. If you've been thinking about getting your child out of public schools into a great private Christian school, half-price tuition is here to help you do it. Half-price tuition, you'll find it at AmazingRadioDeals.com, or you can call Bill Files right here at the station at 407-618-1760. He loves getting children into private Christian schools at half price. Let's make him happy. 407-618-1760, and make you and your child happy and your child a lot smarter by being in a great private Christian school. That's 407-618-1760, AmazingRadioDeals.com. And by the way, when you're at Amazing Radio Deals, just kind of do a little shopping there. There's all kinds of deals that come and go. Half price air conditioning, half price roofing. You never know what you're going to find there at AmazingRadioDeals.com. Also, don't forget, September 7th, we're going to be celebrating 6 years on the air here at WORL AM 660, The Answer. And did I say WORL? That's what they were when we first started here. Of course, they still are, but we don't use that. And FM 105.5, 6 years. We're going to be having a spaghetti eating contest to help us celebrate September the 7th. That's a Wednesday. And that'll be at Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. And if you've been winning gift certificates, you can put them to use that night. Of course, if you want to use them any time there. But come on out and join us September the 7th at Cafe Positano. And by the way, if you'd like to make reservations for that night or any time, you can call them at 407-774-8080. 407-774-8080. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the show after this short break. to see if he got his parking place back. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And if you were listening the last time John Barros was on the show, you'll know what I'm talking about with that parking place. I'm Christopher Hart. John is in the studio with me now. John, always good to see you, my friend.
Same here, brother. It's awesome coming in here.
Yeah, it's awesome having you in here. And Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, and you can be a part of the show, too. All you have to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255. As a matter of fact, get those phones out and get them ready, because I'm ready to give a book away. It is called Quiet Strength, and it is a book that Tony Dungy wrote. And it's Quiet Strength, The Principles, Practices, and Priorities of a Winning Life. It was on the New York Times number one bestseller for a while, and it's got a foreword in it by Denzel Washington. And, you know, this past Saturday, Coach Tony Dungy was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. He's a serious man of faith, and he's authored numerous best-selling books. Now you got a chance to win a copy of Quiet Strength. And we've got one to give away today, and we're going to do this every day until we run out of these books. Got eight or nine to give away. And to get this copy today, you must be the seventh. That's 7th caller to 407-774-8255. And we'll start taking those calls right now. The seventh caller at that number will get this copy of Quiet Strength by Tony Dungy. And I love this subtitle, The Principles, Practices, and Priorities of a Winning Life. You know, some people go through life with a winning attitude, and some people go through life with sort of a losing attitude. And if you do have a losing attitude and you can make it a winning attitude, you'll be a whole lot better off. You know, Donald Trump gave this speech in Detroit today, and not only did he lay out some specifics of his economic plan, I went over those in the beginning of the show, I'm not going to do it again, but he also commented about the failures of liberal economics. He used Detroit as an example, and how that would be, you know, an example of what Hillary's economic policies would be, and he's right, overtaxing, overspending, and overregulating. But he also said something, a couple of things that I wanted to repeat. He said, politicians want you to put your faith in them. I want you to put your faith in America. He also said, politicians want you to think small. I want you to think big. That's what it means to be a winner, you know, to think big, to set your sights on goals that seem to be unachievable when you set your sights on them. And I remember that when Ivanka gave the speech introducing Donald Trump at the Republican convention, she said that he used to tell her something over and over as a child that he sort of drilled into her, and that is, as long as you're going to be thinking, why not think big? You know, so many of us put limitations on ourselves by thinking small, by sort of closing off options. But if you open up your mind and think big, more options suddenly begin to appear that you never thought were there before. And John Barros does that. He gets people to think big, in particular women and men who are considering abortions, because he gets them to think of the bigger picture. He gets them to think of other options. He gets them from thinking small, where people feel like they're boxed in or cornered into a decision that they can't help it. He gets them to think of other things. And you've been doing it how long now? You're celebrating how many years?
Well, this week begins my seventh year of being there every day, all day. But I've been there a total of 13 years now.
And by there, he means downtown, outside the Pendergraph Horror House, where abortions are performed. And he stands out there as a sidewalk counselor trying to get people to reconsider. And a lot of them do. And can you imagine, have you ever even tried to think of how many lives you've helped save over that? And I can't say you've saved, because you'll correct me, because it really is God's word, but that you are a help, you're a big help here. How many lives do you think you've helped save over that 6+ years now?
I really don't know.
Well, actually, 13 years.
But I can say this, that the 6 years that I've been there, I'm just beginning my seventh, but I've seen God turn the hearts pretty much every month, 20 to 30 girls a month. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, but pretty much 20 to 30 girls a month choose life down there.
So that's upwards of 250 to 300 babies a year that are born who would not otherwise be born because you're out there counseling. Most likely.
Well, yeah, I mean, God works. He does amazing things. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
That's a lot of lives who've been saved.
It is. And it's, I mean, you see me in here. I'm no Brad Pitt. I'm not.
Not better looking than I am.
I'm not Dr. Phil. I mean, I just go down there with God's word and just go there to love my neighbor, which is the people going in there, but also is the baby that's going in there with them.
Yeah, well, it's your sincerity, it's your knowledge of the scripture, and it's the honesty with which you present the message that gets through. And it works, and I just want to congratulate you and thank you for having done that over the years.
Thank you.
And, of course, you want to talk about somebody that gets, you know, foul treatment. You think Donald Trump's been getting some foul treatment. He ain't seen nothing compared to you, right? I mean,
well, yeah. He has bodyguards.
Yeah. You're down there all by yourself, except other volunteers who might come to be with you. But, I mean, there's no security protecting you.
You know, God's done a good job all this time.
Well, you have the ultimate in form of security. You have like a force field around you, and God protects you. But nonetheless, people do try to mistreat you down there and curse at you and spit on you and do other things. But that they'll eventually see the error in their ways, and I guarantee you at some point, maybe in this life, maybe in the next one, should they find God, they'll be apologizing. By the way, congratulations to Kim from Castleberry. Kim has just won a free copy of Quiet Strength. And by the way, you can see a free video from Tony Dungy as he talks about his faith and explains what Quiet Strength actually is and his motivation to write the book at his website, which is CoachDungy.com. Coach Dungy, D-U-N-G-Y, CoachDungy.com. Okay, congratulations, Kim, and we'll continue to give those books out the rest of this week and into next week as well, as long as they hold out. Did you get your parking place back?
No, it's funny you mentioned that at the beginning, but...
this is just another way where people are kind of trying to hassle you.
Well, the city, yes, have taken the area where I could park and made it a no-parking zone now. And it was pretty... they were actually foolish in the way that they told the doctor, my friend down there, why they were doing it. They actually admitted that they were taking my parking place away and that they knew my attorneys and they were going to take it away anyway.
Right.
And my attorneys do know about this, but they are working on a lot of big fish frying out there. And like Matt Staver's
Liberty Counsel
is out defending Judge Roy Moore now.
In Alabama.
Yeah, so you don't worry. And the others are doing all kinds of the most craziest assaults on our First Amendment rights, on our rights, every kind of right that we have. And they're defending those, and they do an unbelievable job. But they'll get around to this parking thing one of these days.
Well, it's, you know.
Oh, by the way, it hasn't done a thing. It hasn't done anything of what they thought it would. They thought it would stop girls from choosing life and all that. It hasn't done a thing. And we've readjusted. I park in a different place now, which I think is probably actually a better place. And, you know, you can't stop God when he's going to do
something. I was going to say, God has a way of sort of evening the field, if you will, right?
You know,
frustrating foes.
They just don't get it. It's like the security guy there named Carrie. There was one day here a few weeks ago where three girls chose life. It was like God turned a light on. Boom.
One day.
Yeah, and within like a half an hour, 45 minutes. And he came outside, and they're out there, and he says, what the F is the matter with you people? He says, why are you afraid of a fat old man on effing crutches? You could crawl away faster than he could ever get to you. What are you afraid of?
Talking about you.
Yeah, and he doesn't get it, that it isn't me.
Right.
It's only God can turn that light on. Only God can give somebody a new heart.
And it's these miracles are happening all the time, and you're right there in the middle of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and
wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Frustrating the people at the clinic in the meantime. What amazes me, though, is when you get people who work there who come out. And that happened recently. I think you told us about it a couple of months ago. It happened.
Yeah, but it's even been bigger this time.
How's that?
In the last week.
What happened?
I had the abortionist come out and talk to me twice. And normally, you know, over the years I've spoken to him, just very short and all of that kind of thing. Well, he came out a little over a week ago, and he said that, he said, John, I'm retiring. I'm shutting down my Daytona practice that I've had all these years.
Does he do the same thing in Daytona?
No, he was doing something different with birth control there.
I see.
And he said, so I'm just going to be working at the clinic, you know, at the clinics and that. And I said, well, Randall, I just wish you'd not do anything. You know, I wish you'd just repent and turn from this. I don't want to see what's going to happen to you. And he said, I appreciate that, John. And he went back inside. But he came back out this week, and he said he pulled in, and he walked up. He gave me a book. And I said, what's this, Randall? And he says, well, I noticed you've been having trouble with your knee. And he said, this is one of my textbooks from medical school, and it's all about the knee. And I want you to get an understanding of what's going on in there. I want you to get help for that knee.
Huh.
And then we talked a little more, and then I've had others of them coming out and in the last week. It's just, it's a strange thing. I even wrote a post. I'm on Facebook, and I wrote a post that the most amazing thing to me is to see how evil looks so normal. I mean, people drive by that clinic every day. You'd never think in a million years they're killing babies in there. There's people walking down the sidewalk. They'd never believe it. There's I sit there. I know many of them. I've watched their kids go from junior high school to now one of them's actually a junior, I think, at Florida State, you know, a worker's daughter. You get, when you're there that long every day, these people become almost like family. You see all this going on, but then the horror of it all is that they're in there killing babies.
Mm.
But I still love them. I mean, I love them to pieces. They know that. And
that's what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard, though. But God has been good in that realm, in that in the last year, I've seen almost 15 girls quit that place, and where it was never like that before. I mean, I sat there for years with the same 10 people coming in to work every day, but that's changed.
All right, John Barros. What's your, just John Barros on Facebook?
Yeah, just John Barros.
And you spell Barros, B-A-R-R-O-S. John Barros. Check him out on Facebook and also at whowillstand.net, whowillstand.net. All right, John's once again, he's going to be with us the rest of the hour today, and you can join us, 407-774-8255. Once again, congratulations to Kim from Castleberry, who got Tony Dungy's book today. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries after this short break. All right, got John Barros in the studio with me this afternoon. I always love it when John is in the studio. And, John, today it rained. What do you do when it rains?
Put on your raincoat.
You don't go in, huh? You're still there.
Well, the devil don't go home.
he never takes a day off,
no,
does he?
No, he doesn't. You know, Chris, in that regard, about like the heat, the sweltering heat we get, the all of that stuff. I'll tell you what I look at, and I listen on this show, when I listen to Colonel McKnight, and when I hear these guys and people, and I watch World War II, I'm a history
buff.
World War II history buff. And when I watch what our guys have gone through in wartime, and when I watch what and listen to the and see what they've done, I see what Colonel McKnight in that movie did, Black Hawk Down.
Right.
And I think, what, I can't take a little rain? I can't take a little heat? I'm not carrying an 80-pound backpack around with me and a gun and stumbling all over the place. So when you think that way, it doesn't really bother you at all.
Well, it's still, though, you know, 6 years running, now going into 7 years every day. That's quite an achievement, and congratulations on that. And I guess they didn't throw you a birthday party down there or anything, did they?
Actually, one of the workers bought me a present.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's pretty amazing, and it does say a lot about you. Now, I know that you're preaching the gospel, you're speaking from Scripture down there, but there's ways to go about doing that that turn people off. And you don't do that. I mean, you turn people on to it, and that's a special talent.
Well, you know, the Bible tells us that the gospel is the power unto God for salvation, and we have to get the gospel out there. But in for the gospel to be good news, we have to let people know what the bad news is that we're helping them to escape from. And the message has to be, like, site-specific. I mean, it has to be, the scripture and everything has to have to do with what they're here to do and what God thinks about what they're here to do and what the way of escape is.
John Barros, whowillstand.net, and visit him on Facebook at John Barros, if you would, please. And give him encouragement. And by the way, you know, he's down there on Lucerne Circle, and he likes Dunkin' Donuts coffee, right? Well, cream only.
Yeah, it's 1103 Lucerne Terrace.
Lucerne Terrace down there. Any news on the state's efforts to close that place down?
Well, I found out that September 15th, it's in front of a judge up in Tallahassee, and to shut down all four of his abortion clinics.
Statewide?
Yes.
And this is because he was arrested
with
drug charges.
And now he's been indicted on those charges by a grand jury up in South Carolina for manufacturing and sales of dangerous drugs.
And they also, the sheriff found abortion tools in his, bloodied abortion tools in his van, and dubbed him, what, the traveling abortionist?
Traveling abortionist. He had been doing abortions out of the back of a beat-up old van. And he's, they're building cases on that now too. They've been able to find some of the girls that he had given abortions to in that van,
and he had lost his license to do anything like that, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had lost his medical license, has been suspended for the fifth time indefinitely. So he was doing, and he didn't have one to practice in South Carolina anyway. So he was just out on his own, just doing them.
That's Dr. So the so-called Dr. Pendergraft, and as we said, he lost his license, as John said, a long time ago. And but of course, that he's just one abortionist in this state, and Planned Parenthood got a reprieve from a judge. Their funding had been cut off by the legislature, but they got a reprieve from a judge for that. Any repercussions from that? Are you seeing any? I guess the climate has changed such at the clinic where you're at, but do you communicate with people who do what you do in front of Planned Parenthood clinics?
I do. And one of the girls that works on the sidewalk over at Planned Parenthood over here on Tampa Avenue came by, and it was a week ago, and said, boy, there's hardly anybody coming here. There, says, I was here today. But what I think's happening is this Pendergraft, I think they know that there's a good chance they're going down, and I think they're trying to get every nickel they can get. They're open now 7 days a week, and they're open on Sunday now. They're and doing cut rate as far as price-wise goes on abortions, so they're getting a lot of people there where Planned Parenthood wasn't hardly having anybody.
So the price break at the Pentagraph Clinic may be stealing some business away from them. Is that what you're
yes.
saying? Yeah. All right. Well, that's what goes on. As you say, the evil that sort of passes as normality, mm-hmm. normal, you know, in our community here. And right under our noses, so to speak, but not under John's nose. once again, John Barros, you can find him on Facebook, Barros, and his website is whowillstand.net, whowillstand.net. By the way, folks, if you can help him out financially and make his burden a little bit easier down there, we'd appreciate that very much as well. John doesn't, you know, he doesn't do this for money. He does this because this is his calling, and he's the right person for this too. And it's just miraculous the things that he sees and is in the middle of. And when we come back, I'm going to have John tell us about some of the latest miracles that have happened down there, some of the girls that have come out recently. And I'm sure you'll want to hear those testimonies as well. In the meantime, we do have to take a break at this point, though. Don't forget, you're listening to The American Adversaries. And please, half-price tuition. It's that time of year. Back to school time. Try to get your kid in a great Christian private school, and you can do it at half price. Go to AmazingRadioDeals.com, AmazingRadioDeals.com. We'll be right back with more of The American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
Cold blue steel, I had a blues man on the back in a blue t-shirt.
All right, and don't mess with Johnny Barros either. He's got the big guy on his side. By the way, that's Johnny B. Bad, Mark Marrow. He's going to be in the studio with us Thursday. And, you know, Mark, you would like Mark Marrow. He's come to Christ, and he goes around. He's a former professional wrestler, and he goes around to middle schools and high schools and talks about bullying and tries to get kids not to bully, and especially in this day and age of cyberbullying. Well, when he comes in Thursday, I'm going to be taking up with him adult bullying.
Yeah.
Now, you get it, you know, I'm sure you get it on Facebook and other ways where people, you know, pro-abortion people attack you and curse you. And, I mean, you get it both face-to-face, but you get it on Facebook, too, I would imagine, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And people evidently get bullied quite a bit. There are certain categories. There's political bullying, sexual bullying, religious bullying, and racial bullying. And evidently, political bullying is the one most common amongst adults right now, at least with the campaign going on. So we'll be talking about that with Mark Marrow. In the meantime, John is here. 407-774-8255 is the number. John, tell us about some of the good stories here over the last week or two.
Well, I'll tell you a real good story, but it's not about a person. There was True Life Choices have bought a building. They were wanting to buy one on Lucerne Terrace right by me.
Yeah, we remember that. Yeah.
But it didn't work out. But God found them a building, I guess, for less money, 6,000 square feet.
That's pretty big.
It's between where I am and Planned Parenthood. So it, I think, is actually, I mean, it'd be nice to be able to walk over and talk to the girls, get a cup of coffee or something, but
right.
I think it's probably much better to have it where it is going. And that's supposed to be open up and running the end of this month. So,
oh, that's great.
So, yeah, that's really good news.
And True Life Choice, folks, in case you don't know, they provide sonograms and other help for women who decide to choose life.
Right. I work like a team with them, and it's pretty incredible what they do once you get a girl out of there. I just love to get them in a different environment, get them where they're going to be loved by a bunch of ladies, and the medical equipment and the staff they have there is insane. They have the latest 3D imaging ultrasound equipment, that's done by a Florida hospital sonographer, and is overseen by a radiologist to make sure everything's okay with the baby and all that. It's just, and great counseling. It's just a, it's just great that they're able to get into a bigger facility and help more people now.
It's kind of like when I started off this hour of the show, I was talking about Trump and thinking big and things like that. You know, our minds can be prisons, mm-hmm. you know, and we can lock ourselves into certain notions or certain conclusions or certain beliefs, and they will restrict us. And as I said, you help open up these women's and in some cases men's eyes and minds to see other possibilities that they don't know exist and aren't considering as they're making this decision. And when they see these other opportunities, they begin to see things that they couldn't realize before. That's and then they begin to see the possibilities that they had shut off before. And that's thinking big. That's getting someone from thinking in a restricted fashion to thinking much, seeing the much bigger picture, so to speak.
Right.
And that's what you're in the middle of doing.
Well, yeah, along with all the other people like it, Choices and that can help guide them and the churches that we get them involved in my church. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's by showing them the love.
Right.
And showing them that, look, we can help you,
yep.
and you can do this. They begin to think of possibilities that they wouldn't even have considered before.
Right. So many of them think that there's no money or there's whatever. You know, they like to tell themselves that they won't be able to do it.
Right.
It's nothing. But I always tell them that, you know, God has never let anyone down that's trusted him. Never. It's not even in his character. He can't do it. Anybody that trusts him, because he's number one, the one that gives them the power to trust him to begin with.
Right.
But anybody that trusts him, he's going to help. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And out of all the girls I've seen choose life, not one of them hasn't received what they needed for that baby and for their family. And God goes much bigger than just the baby, but to their family and everything else. You know, I get to the opportunity to go to Winnie Palmer Hospital from time to time. They'll call me and say, my baby's been born. Can you come by? And I'll go by, and I never see one say, I wish I would have killed my baby. I never see one tell me any such thing. All I hear is, I can't imagine my life without my baby. And I sit there and I just go, is this really happening? I mean, this same person 5 months ago couldn't imagine
their life
having a baby.
Right, their life
and
with a baby.
And now, one day into having a baby, and they already have this thing inside of them that I can't imagine my life without my baby. But God is so good, and God takes care of those that trust him.
Have you ever had a baby named after you?
No, not that I know of.
How about, have you been asked to be a godfather?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine a number of times.
Yes.
Yeah. And it must be, you know, a sense of gratification for you, but just wonderment, I would think, you feel when you see these things. Is that one of the things you experience? Just like the wonder of God's, you know, will?
It is. It truly is. Sometimes I just stand back in awe, because I didn't, even though I've been there all the time and I've seen how God works, there will be times when it just takes you so by surprise that you just stand there and just go, wow, is this really happening? And I'll give you an example. I know you love stories. So
yep.
I'll tell you about this girl. She's 19 years old, one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my life. Her mother brings her down there to have an abortion. As they're coming in, I'm offering them the materials that we hand out, telling them to trust God and that we can help them, that there's absolutely nothing we can't do to help them, but you don't want to go in that place because this is demonic activity, and there's just, this is just an awful, anyway, I'll go into all these things. But the mom got all mad at me, and she's screaming and cussing. And
the mother.
Yeah, the mother.
The mother of the woman.
Of the young girl. Yeah. Yes. And they go in, and then the mom keeps coming out, and I just kept keying on her, saying, please, let us help you. You don't have to do this. We have everything you would need.
You mean she was going in and out, like going to the car or something
yeah.
like that?
And a lot of times when they're doing that, they're not really going to the car for anything. They're going there to hear more. Or if they come out to have a cigarette, they could easily go out in the back corner or out in their car and have a cigarette. And but they'll stand out there, and so many times they're just wanting to hear more, but their pride won't let them ask.
Right.
You know? So anyway, this is going on, and I'll keep it short. But
No. Okay. We want to hear the long version.
Okay, well... This is going on, and the mom, it was finally, I would quote some scriptures to her when she was coming in, and one of them was, I said, you know, ma'am, in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the seven deadly sins, and it tells us that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood, and this, your granddaughter's blood will be on your hands as well, and she just, like, cringed, And then I told her, I said, Galatians chapter 6 tells us that to be not deceived, that God is not mocked, and what we sow, we're going to reap. And this is sowing to the death of your own grandchild. And then I preached my sermon after all this. And in the middle of the sermon, which they can all hear. They can hear it through the windows, and they can hear it through the doors. And the lobby is right there in the front. And while halfway through the sermon, out she comes, like charging towards me with her daughter. And I thought, this lady is going to take my head off. I really thought she was coming for blood. I really thought this is over.
Yeah.
And she comes out. And I noticed this little tear in her right eye, and she's got her daughter there, and she says, will you pray for us? And I said, of course, ma'am, it'd be an honor. And then she, I put my right hand on her shoulder, my left hand on her daughter's shoulder, and I started to pray. And as soon as I said, Father, they started sobbing, the both of them, and they're hugging each other. I mean, this wrestler you're going to have on had nothing on what these people were doing to each other. I'm not kidding. Just tears everywhere. I was soaked with mine as well. I mean, it was one of the most emotional things I've ever seen. And then out of the middle of all this, I don't know how she did it, but the mom pulls her arm up and puts her palm up to heaven, and she looks up there and just sobbing says, thank you, Jesus. You did not let us go. That's my ministry. I get to see him do that. I got to tell you, I couldn't even breathe. It was like the air was out of my lungs, and I was just watching something supernatural, not just even 10 feet away from me, but literally in my hands as I was holding those two. And that is the ministry of God. That's what he does down there. And it's absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. There's nothing like it. I remember I go to church, which I believe is the best church. Everybody thinks their church is the best church. But I go to St. Andrew's Chapel over in Sanford. And Pastor R.C. Sproul and Burke and Don and Kevin, they're all behind this, and the church is ministering in this way. But I remember I went once before the elders and the pastors to explain what I did, and I put 9 pictures on a piece of paper and told them, just tell me, point to one, and I'll tell you a story. So I told a couple of them. I said, I know you guys are real busy, and then RC looks at me and he says, John, I want to hear all of them. So I told them all of them, and then he's going, John, this is just amazing. This is unbelievable. And I said, sir, I know you think you got a pretty good gig around this place, but I think I got you beat by a mile. He said, Lord. I think you do too, John.
Oh, I tell you
That's
what.
That's what we get to see. It's not always like that. In fact, I wouldn't be telling that story if it wasn't so dramatic and over the top. But, you know, the most of them are very quiet. Most of them are, God just does a little work in somebody's heart, opens their eyes, and that's what happens.
All right. I can't top that, so let's take a break. All right, we got a wise man here in the studio with me today, John Barros. John, it's incredible what you experienced down there. And by the way, John, you can find him on Facebook at John Barros or whowillstand.net on the internet. And if there's any way you can help John out, I implore you to please do so. John, you were just telling me during the break that when the change occurs to people and you see it, it's sudden. It's not like, I mean, this woman you were just describing was working on it, but it was just like all of a sudden it clicked.
Correct. And it's bizarre. It's like, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to correct those that are in opposition, if perhaps God would grant them repentance and open their eyes, that they might see the snare of the devil, having been taken by him to do his will. And I always look at the people that are in there as people that are not just stuck in a trap that's been laid out by the devil himself, but they're blind and stuck in that trap. And so often you will see somebody, God just literally turns a light on. You can actually see some of them even jolt, like have this little jolt in their body. And where God turns on the light and opens their eyes. And that was the case with them. They were angry. I mean, I've had girls literally all day long cussing at me, throwing stuff at me,
threatening,
spitting it in my face, all this. And then 5 minutes after the last time they spit in my face, come running out to the sidewalk and hug me with their tears just pouring down their face. And I can't do that. I have no power to do those kind of things. It's God working in their heart.
Wow. I don't mean to make light of it, but usually with me, it's the other way around. They listen to me, and then they start spitting at me.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to Diane on the line. Diane, are your tears in your eyes like they are mine?
Big time. John, you're amazing. And what you do is amazing, and you know how I feel about you. I love you. Thank you so much. I was thinking about you today, and I didn't even know you were going to be on.
Well, you know, it's important, I think, too, that we hear these things, that we know that these things are happening, because it gives us, it's food for our soul. It gives us hope. It confirms our faith. And I just so appreciate John that he comes in and is willing to come up here and do this. Because he's got to go out of his way to come here and do this. And it's just, it's such an honor to hear these things. And you know, I had tears running down my face. It's just amazing.
It's amazing what you and God have accomplished together. And that you are willing to put yourself out there. That's just huge.
That is. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of guts to do that, John.
Yep.
Indeed it does. Thanks, Diane. I appreciate it.
Diane?
We love you so much, John.
Diane?
Yes.
1103 Lucerne Terrace, large coffee, cream only.
You got it, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks for being out there. But it is important. That's why I want you on this show. I want you to be relaying these things to our audience, because I think it's important for them to know that God is alive and God's hard at work. And all we got to do is let him do his work, and things will be a lot better for us.
Well, it's so funny because it is so easy to look, especially this time of year, when we're listening to Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton, and you hear them every day talking about what's wrong,
right.
Even though, you know, we agree with one or another or whatever, but a constant barrage of what's wrong. And you see all this stuff, and it's so easy to feel hopeless and feel helpless. But, you know, everybody can go out somewhere and make a change of something. We really can. And God is just waiting for people to take a stand for him.
Hey, it's like Trump says, if you're going to be thinking anyway, why not think big?
That's right.
You know, and you can make a difference. And you never know how big a difference it's going to be. One life that you can touch can make a world of difference. And, you know, once again, John is... he's a special man, and he's doing a special thing. Not all of us can do that. Not many of us can do what he does. But there's something all of us can do. There's something out there all of us can do. And it starts with getting right with God. Because
right.
I don't care how talented you are. If you're not right with God, that talent's going to go to waste.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not right with God, then everything's a problem. But... but yeah, I think our country, the main message I wish would be that we need to repent as a country and turn from our sin. I mean, we're slaughtering 1,300,000 children a year. God doesn't take lightly to that. I mean, I remember...
he's not going to reward it, let's put it that way.
No, and he moved Israel out of the promised land
yep.
for that. And, so, and to think that he judged them, and that somehow we think we're so special that we're not.
We're above that?
No.
Yeah,
no.
No.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not. We turn away from God, God will oblige us. Mm-hmm. All right? We turn to God, God will reward us.
That's right.
Because as you said earlier, God doesn't turn his back on people.
It's funny. People always come down to the clinic, and so often every day you hear the same old thing. It's my choice. It's my choice. I said, I'm not arguing with your choice. It's my choice if I kill whoever's on the sidewalk with me. I go, that doesn't make it right. My choice isn't the ultimate authority. Choice goes back to the book of Genesis. It was Adam's choice
right.
to eat the forbidden fruit or not. He was disobedient, and he plunged us all into a curse.
Right.
So. And the same as today. Be obedient and be blessed, or disobedient and be cursed. That's the choice.
It's pretty much that simple.
And it really is.
And if you let that be your guiding light in life, it will make a lot of those hard choices, seemingly hard choices, a lot easier to make.
Right.
Because when you have the right guiding principles and the right guiding light, they guide you and they help you in those difficult times. Well, John, once again, I want to thank you for being with us tonight, and I can't wait till you come back again here.
Thank you.
So
2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Once again, John Barros. That's John Barros. You can find him on Facebook, and his website is whowillstand.net. Whowillstand.net, John Barros. And we look forward to hearing more of your testimonies in the future, because I know they're going to be just as powerful as what you told us tonight. Mm-hmm. And keep up the good work. And once
thank
again,
you,
you know, can't thank you enough. And I can't thank you, ladies and gentlemen, enough for listening. Don't forget, Larry Elder is coming up here in just a few minutes as we go off the air. And I hope you've been paying attention to the advertisements that we've been running for local politicians. And please consider them. They're all great people. And if they're in Orange County, I'm voting for them. If they were in Seminole County, or if I were in Seminole County, I'd be voting for our advertisers, too. They're great people, and they'll be great additions to our public servants. That's going to do it for tonight. Once again, thanks for being with us. John, God bless you.
God bless you.
And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Don't forget, you got Larry Elder coming up next on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Night, everybody.